Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters who do not let any unclean animal touch their lips. And those of you who do eat unclean animals, I still love you and welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 5 of Pork and the Unclean. You can follow along with the document by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Pork is found in the Word Studies menu.
We saw in part 4 that idolatry played a big part in the contamination and desecration of the children of Israel, our ancestors. And idolatry defiled the land, the temple, the city, and the hearts and minds of our people. Yahweh was so disgusted with his inheritance that he sent the Babylonians to destroy everything and carry the Israelites in Judah away to Babylon for 70 years. We learned in Ezekiel about Tammuz and the pagan practices of weeping for Tammuz, which today is called Lent and Ash Wednesday. We also get Easter from these pagan deities. Easter bread and hot crossed buns are cakes offered up to the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar. Yahweh despises and abhors Easter, which has nothing to do with Christianity, and he hates the ignorance of baby Jesus worship, which is nothing but Tammuz in the arms of Semiramis. Easter service in the churches is an abomination, and teaching children to celebrate this pagan holiday is detestable and wicked. We also learned that the Statue of Liberty is actually a transgendered image of the goddess Ishtar, donated by French Freemasons to defile our land and bring the false light of illumination and spirit of Jezebel upon our nation. Our lands are filled with pagan statues, Egyptian sun pillars, satanic symbols, and deceived people worshiping Jewish Jesus. We saw in Ezekiel that we become estranged from Yahweh through idols and false doctrines. We saw that idolaters that inquire of Yahweh will not be heard. So does Yahweh hear the prayers of the pew warmers who are on Jaime Jesus' team? We saw that false prophets and preachers continue to spread lies and skew the words of Scripture to fit their own vanity, and the people become defiled in their hearts and minds. We keep seeing over and over that when we go our own way and after our own doings, we become unclean and filthy in the eyes of Yahweh. We saw prophecies that Yahweh will regather our people and cleanse us from our ethical and religious uncleannesses and idolatries. This happened when Christ walked among us, and still happens when we abandon our pagan Jaime Jesus worshiping ways and return to our heritage, the Way and Yahweh. We saw that Yahweh sends his prophets and teachers to teach us to distinguish between the holy and the profane, and to make a difference between the unclean and the clean. But the Jews blur the lines, and the sheep in the churches are acting like goats and eating pigs. We saw in Daniel that he, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not defile themselves with the unclean meats of the Babylonians. By obeying Yahweh's food laws, they were exalted, and they were shown favor by their captors, and Yahweh gave them knowledge and understanding. We saw Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, which is ultimately about Yeshua Messiah, his fulfillment of the ritual laws of sacrifice, the end of the priesthood, the reconciliation of all Israel by his shed blood, and becoming high priest and propitiation for our sins. He didn't end sin or the law. He became our high priest and the only one who we come to for forgiveness, for prayer, and for blessings. In Hosea, we saw again that our religious practices defile us, not only because they pollute our hearts and minds, but they also bring fornication, race mixing, and barbecue pork rituals. We saw that sinners and deceived churchgoers are contaminated and their worship is polluted. Yahweh does not want their teaching in His house. We see also that these defiled, saved, pew-warming rapture groupies do whatsoever they want. They celebrate Ishtar Sunday and Christ Mass. They eat abominable, unclean animals and think they are in God's good graces because they believe and are well and see no evil. But Yahweh won't be sending them their trusty airplane pilot, Jaime Jesus, to take them away from tribulation. Yahweh will be sending them front row tickets to the fires of Gehenna. It matters who and what we believe. We continue in Amos 2:6. Thus saith Yahweh,
For three transgressions of Yisrael, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go unto the same maid, to profane, defile, pollute, desecrate, and make common my holy name.
The Geneva has,
To dishonor my holy name.
More idolatry and unlawful sexual relations. These things defile, pollute, desecrate, and make us common, and dishonors the name we are called by. Micah chapter 2 is more condemnation of Israel for their evil works, which included sexual fornication and idolatry, which defiles us and makes us unclean and counted as filthy. Micah 2:7.
Are you called house of Jacob? Is the spirit of Yahweh limited? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walks uprightly?
The punishment of our people was brought on by their own doings. Yet, even in captivity, Israel was promised that if they seek righteousness, God would be with them. Verse 8.
Even of late, my people is risen up as a hated enemy. You strip off the robe with the garment from those who trust you, as they pass by, those returning from battle. The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever.
Verses 8 and 9 explains that the children of Israel had become adversarial to God, and that they robbed the possessions of those who were peaceable, and of widows and orphans. Verse 10.
Arise, you, and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted, defiled, contaminated, unclean, and impure. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will preach unto you of wine and of strong drink, he shall be the preacher of this people.
When our people remain in their condition of sin and ignorance and stiff-neckedness, he will let them have their false preachers they love so much. Wine and strong drink symbolize good times and prosperity. The people deserved no other prophet than a false prophet, who would speak of and foretell good times, even though their destruction was imminent. These pulpit bastards today, Even if they are preaching in ignorance and repeating lies, they are preaching love and personal salvation and prosperity gospels. They mistake identity and teach to just believe. They are the blind and dumb, dogs without teeth, leaders of the ditch. Yahweh allows them to defraud the people and commonize them because that's what they want. They want their delusions, and Yahweh gives his children what they want.
It isn't new, it's never old, and it's not what you expect. But it's up and coming. It's right in front of you. It's the life of the party, the word on the street. It's in, it's always, and it's about time. It's where we're at, it's what you want, it's on your mind, it's in your mouth, it's pork, and it's catching on. The other white meat. Taste what's next.
Then the Jews said unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. We shall continue defiling the minds of your people, and entice them with swine, because we know that swine in their temples keeps you away from them. Nahum is the sequel to Jonah. The preaching of Jonah had an effect on the inhabitants of Nineveh, which were Assyrians, kinsmen of Israel, as the Assyrians and Israelites descended from Shem. Nineveh's reformation was not maintained, and about 50 years later was destroyed by the Babylonians. Nahum 3:4. Woe to the city of blood! All of it is a lie, filled with plunder. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that sell nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts.
Behold, I am against you, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will discover your skirts upon your face, and I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame.
Yahweh makes a comparison that Nineveh is, allegorically, an attractive whore. Verse 6.
And I will cast abominable filth upon you, and make you vile, and will set you as a gazing stock.
Hebrews 10:33. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. If you hang out with the ungodly, you will be counted with the ungodly. Nahum 3:7.
And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon you shall flee from you, and say, Nineveh is laid waste, who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comforters for you?
The two great mounds where the ruins of Nineveh are found continue to attest to the perfection and fulfillment of the word of Yahweh. In chapter 2 of Haggai, Yahweh was reminding his people, who were at the end of their captivity and who have put away the old man, their sinful ways, to keep sin away and to remember what happens when you do return to sin, and to consider from this day forward to abide by his Torah and his ways. Yahweh tells Haggai to ask the priests, If one that is unclean by touching a dead body, touch any of Yahweh's holy things, makes those things unclean. They said, Yes. Haggai 2:14. Then answered Haggai and said,
So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says Yahweh, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean, impure, and religiously foul.
Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. If you are believing in false doctrine and worshiping a Jewish Jesus, everything you do is unclean, because your mind and conscience is defiled. The 33,000 denominations and their beliefs are defiled because they are skewed versions of Scripture, but are not Scripture. So there, every thought, action, belief, and daily life is based on their defiled understanding. When they go out and spread their untempered mortar of polluted Judeo beliefs, they are bringing others into their unclean and defiled cult of Jewish Jesus worship, and where nothing Yahweh commanded is followed. The future of Jerusalem, Zephaniah 3:1. Woe to her, Jerusalem, that is filthy and polluted and defiled, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in Yahweh, she drew not near to her Elohim. Filthy here is H 4784, Mara, and means to be contentious, rebellious, disobedient. So we see over and over that idolatry and false doctrine, sexual fornication, rebellion, and oppression of the poor makes people, cities, and land defiled. Filthy, polluted, desecrated, impure, common, and unclean. Zechariah 13:1.
In that day there shall be a fountain for cleansing opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Zechariah 13:2.
And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean, filthy spirits of idolatry to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, You shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies.
In other words, say you were raised in a family that went to church, and y'all believed Jesus was a Jew and all the nonsense the churches fill your head with. Then Yahweh opens your eyes to these lies and you understand the truth. When you go tell your parents that the churches are teaching Jewish lies, they will thrust you out. Malachi opens with the Israelites being concerned with the Edomites. Our white race is compassionate to all races, even at the cost of injuring our own selves for them. Malachi 1:2.
I have loved you, Jacob, says Yahweh. Yet you say, Wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says Yahweh, yet I loved Jacob.
The children of Israel are concerned with the children of Esau more than themselves. This is very much like today. Judeo-Christians, most of whom are Israelites and don't even know it, are more concerned about the Jews and the state of Israel. Verse 3.
And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the jackals of the wilderness.
Whereas Edom says,
"We are impoverished, but we Edomite Jews will return and build the desolate places."
Thus says Yahweh of hosts,
"The Edomite Jews shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call the Jews the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever."
The border of wickedness is that Jewish state of Israel. Verse 5.
"And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh will be magnified from the border of Yisrael."
The border of wickedness is different than the border of Israel. The border of Israel is the nations of Israelites wherever we dwell, Europe and America. We are the ones who magnify Yahweh. Verse 6.
"A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, Wherein have we despised your name?"
Yahweh is speaking about the Edomite priests that have crept into the Levitical priesthood just before the time of Christ. These Edomite Jew priests taught that the name of God, Yahweh, was too holy to speak. The Jewish priests usurped the Levitical priesthood and installed their own teachings and their own ordinances which were contrary to God's. Verse 7.
"You offer polluted, defiled bread upon my altar, and you say, Wherein have we polluted and defiled you? In that you say, The table of Yahweh is contemptible, disregarded, and slighted. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept you favorably? Says Yahweh of hosts."
They offered blemished sacrifices, and they were more concerned with personal gain through all their added decrees. Verse 12.
"But you have profaned my name. You have made it common, defiled, desecrated, and contaminated, in that you say, The table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is disregarded."
Just like the Jews' father, Cain, offered up inferior fruits to Yahweh and was rejected, the Jewish counterfeit priesthood offered blemished sacrifices and are rejected.
Popeyes, this place marinates, batters, cooks, and now even fish and butterfly shrimp.
This place has eye-popping Popeyes
shrimp.
From the big fish of New Orleans-style food, a whole new menu.
Eye-popping Popeyes shrimp.
And fish. Dive into our new fish and shrimp platter. 2 pieces of mouth-watering fish, 4 butterfly shrimp, coleslaw, fries, and biscuit, just $3.99. Perfect for big folks and little shrimps. Popeyes, now this place cooks fish and butterfly shrimp.
Popeyes, where you can eat like the unclean.
Malachi chapter 2 is Yahweh stating that he chose Levi to be his priesthood, not those sheeny, vagabond, abominable, filthy, detestable Jews. When the Levites were righteous, they turned many away from iniquity, thereby cleansing and making pure and clean the people. The Jews and the churches do the opposite. They turn us away from Yahweh and teach us to defile ourselves with food, religion, and Jewish values. Malachi 2:7.
"For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you, Edom, are departed out of the way. You are apostatized. You Jews have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law.
Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, by profaning, defiling, polluting, making common, and breaking the covenant of our fathers? In verse 10, these are the liberal Israelite priests speaking for Edom. Esau was Isaac's son too, but since Esau despised his race and his birthright, and he race-mixed with Canaanites, his seed is not acceptable. Verse 11, Yehuda has dealt treacherously, and an abomination and an abhorrence is committed in Yisrael and in Yerushalayim. For Yehuda has profaned, defiled, polluted, desecrated, and made common the set-apartness of Yahweh, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange god. The Testament of Levi speaks of the priesthood being corrupted and infiltrated in the last days, and it was, by Jews. When Herod was placed by the Romans as tetrarch over Judea, he had all the Levites slaughtered and replaced them with Edomite Jew priests. John Hyrcanus was responsible for forced integration of Jews from Idumea into the land of Yehuda. This eventually led to the Jews being circumcised, marrying Israelites, resulting in identity theft, pollution of the priesthood, desecration of the priestly office, and making common the set-apartness of Yahweh's people. Today's churches are guilty of the same thing. False preachers and deceived preachers teaching our people the doctrines of men, that they are Gentiles instead of Israelites, and that you accept God when you claim you're saved.
Oh, I'm saved.
The churches are profaned, the congregants are defiled, and God's word is become common. The apocryphal literature is not considered scripture because it reveals many truths the Jews and the churches don't want you to know about. The Apocrypha is Israelite literature and history, and also shows just how detestable swine and unclean animals are to God and his people who follow him. The Apocrypha covers the time between Ezra and Nehemiah and Yeshua Messiah. For some reason, it was decanonized, probably because it reveals that Israelites are white people, the Edomites are the Jews, and the books of the Maccabees are filled with hate crimes against eating pork. After the Persian Empire came Alexander the Great. The midsection of the statue of the vision of Daniel. 1 Maccabees 1:7. So Alexander reigned 12 years and then died, and his servants bare rule every one in his place. Alexander's kingdom was divided among his four generals. Verse 9. And after his death they all put crowns upon themselves. So did their sons after them many years, and evils were multiplied in the land. And there came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes, son of Antiochus the king, who had been a hostage at Rome, and he reigned in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men, who persuaded many, saying, Let us go and make a covenant with the heathen that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. After conquering Egypt, Antiochus came up to the land of Judah, Jerusalem, and took it as well. Verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, and every one should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion, and sacrificed unto idols, and profaned, defiled, polluted, desecrated, and made common the Sabbath. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Yehuda, that they should follow the strange laws of the land, and forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane, defile, pollute, desecrate, and make common the Sabbaths and festival days, and pollute the sanctuary and holy people, set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean and impure beasts, that they should also leave their children uncircumcised, and make their souls abominable and detestable with all manner of uncleanness and filth and profanation and desecration, to the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinances. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die. We can see that even up to a couple hundred years before Christ, the obedient remnant of the children of Israel still followed the way and the food laws. The Seleucid Empire was the Persian kingdom of the Macedonian dynasty of the Seleucids, whose rule began with the collapse of Alexander's empire and faded away between Roman and Parthian growth of power in the 1st century BC. The Seleucid Empire began when Seleucus I, one of Alexander the Great's former favorite companions, was given the satrapy of Babylon in the second division of the empire in 321 BC. Antiochus IV, 175-164 BC, was the 8th ruler of the Seleucid Empire. He gave himself the surname Epiphanes, which means the visible god, that he and Jupiter were identical. He acted as though he really were Jupiter, and the people called him Epimenes, meaning the madman. He was violently bitter against the Judeans and was determined to exterminate them and their religion. He devastated Jerusalem in 168 BC, defiled the temple, offered a pig on its altar, erected an altar to Jupiter, prohibited temple worship, forbade circumcision on pain of death, sold thousands of Judean families into slavery, destroyed all copies of scripture that could be found, and slaughtered everyone discovered in possession of such copies, and resorted to every conceivable torture to force Judeans to renounce their religion. This led to the Maccabean Revolt, one of the most heroic feats in history. The Antiochus bust discovery is important in the study of biblical archaeology. It reveals an image of the man who was mentioned in the book of Daniel. Antiochus IV usurped the throne of his brother Seleucus IV, who died. Antiochus was determined to Hellenize Israel and make them a people who were worthy of bordering Egypt. He needed a loyal Hellenized population there. The Judeans were quickly becoming more Greek than any other time in history. A group of Judeans came to Antiochus with a plan. They proposed that the high priest Onias III should be removed and his Hellenized brother Jason should take his place. They should set up a Greek constitution and coin Greek money. The plan was followed and all the Judeans were outraged. It was the first time since the Babylonian captivity that a non-Israelite government had interfered with the priesthood, treating the sacred office as though it were nothing other than a governmental office. But the worst was yet to come. Now, the Hellenizers had full control of the government in Jerusalem, and they began to build gymnasiums within the city and encouraged the young to spend all their time there. The young priests engaged in sports. Jerusalem was filled with Greek styles, Greek clothes, Greek names, Greek language, and worst of all, Greek religion and Greek morals. It must be noted that the Greeks were Adamites, descendants of Javan, son of Japheth, a son of Noah, the tenth from Adam. These were Ionian Greeks. Some Greeks were Israelites, tribes of Dorian and Danan Greeks of the house of Judah. And of course, some Greeks were mingled with Canaanites and Edomites, Greek Jews. Did you know that the Jews' yarmulke is actually a Greek student's cap? The Jews steal everything. Antiochus Epiphanes was likely a Canaanite Edomite, as verse 110 refers to him as a wicked root, and he wanted to destroy Israelites. The most radical Hellenizers felt that things were not moving fast enough, so they convinced Antiochus to remove Jason and replace him with Menelaus, who was not even a member of the priestly family. Menelaus had no sympathy for the Israelite traditions whatsoever, and was only concerned about his own power. The temple treasury did not contain enough money to pay Antiochus what he had promised, so he sold some of the holy vessels of the temple to raise the money he needed. It was now the goal that the way of Yahweh was to be destroyed. In the mind of Antiochus, to be un-Hellenized was stiff-necked nonsense. If the way of Yahweh stood in the way, then the way of Yahweh was to be destroyed. So he gave the orders. The Syrian army marched into Jerusalem, and many of the people were killed and others escaped to the hills. Only the known Hellenists were allowed to remain. Orders were given: no Sabbath, no holy days, and no circumcision. A statue of Zeus, Antiochus, was placed in the temple above the altar. The most detestable animals, the pig, were brought in and sacrificed on the altar. First Maccabees 1:54. Now the 15th day of the month of Ethanim, in the 145th year, they set up the abomination, the detestation of desolation, upon the altar, and builded idol altars throughout the cities of Yehuda on every side, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. Sounds like what's happened in Europe and America. Once white Christian nations, now filled with pork and seafood serving franchises.
Mr. presents new seafood trios.
One, two, three, your favorites from the sea.
Six new seafood trios, all irresistible. And with half of them priced at $6.95, it's just...
One, two, three.
Like broiled Boston bluefish, succulent scallops, and sizzling shrimp scampi in one delicious dish, and even a kids trio at $1.95.
One, two, three. And then lobster, three from the sea.
New seafood trios, only for a few weeks, only at Red Lobster.
Antiochus' favorite place to eat unclean seafood, where you can either eat unclean animals or die.
Maccabees 1:62. Howbeit, many in Yisra'el were fully resolved and confirmed in themselves not to eat any unclean or impure thing. Wherefore, the rather to die, that they might not be defiled, polluted, contaminated, desecrated and made common with meats, and that they might not profane the holy covenant. So then they died. Death over bacon and shrimp. How strong is your allegiance? How strong is your faith? 1 Maccabees 2:1. In those days rose Mattathias, the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the sons of Joarib, from Jerusalem, and dwelt in Modin. And he had five sons, Joanan, called Caddis, Simon, called Thassi, Judas, who was called Maccabeus, Eleazar, called Avaran, and Jonathan, whose surname was Apphis. And when he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Yehuda and Jerusalem, he said, Woe is me! Wherefore was I born to see this misery of my people and of the holy city, and to dwell there, when it was delivered into the hand of the enemy, and the sanctuary into the hand of racial aliens? 2 Maccabees 6:18. Eleazar, one of the principal scribes, an aged man, and of a well-favored countenance, was constrained to open his mouth and to eat swine's flesh. But he, choosing rather to die gloriously than to live stained, defiled, polluted, desecrated, and common with such an abomination and detestable filth, spit it forth, and came of his own accord to the torment. And as it behoved them to come, that are resolute to stand out against such things as are not lawful for the love of life to be tasted. The history of our ancestors plainly shows that pig and other unclean animals are an abomination to eat. There is a reason why Yahweh made unclean animals, and it is not for us to eat them. They eat garbage, blood, feces, and all unclean things. They are the garbage disposers of the earth. They are living dumps. Why would you eat a dump sandwich?
Ew!
2 Maccabees 7:1. It came to pass also that seven brethren with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law to taste swine's flesh, and were tormented with scourges and whips. But one of them that spake first said thus, What would you ask or learn of us? We are ready to die, rather than to transgress the laws of our fathers. Why would Yahweh make laws about unclean animals in the Old Testament, and let many obedient Israelites die because they chose to follow those laws, and then change his mind and lift the ban on ham? Christ did not die so you could add bacon to your breakfast.
My husband just doesn't bring home the bacon anymore.
Now I bring home the sizzling.
Don't bring home the bacon.
Think lean.
Bring home the sizzling.
Sizzoline is a great-tasting breakfast strip from Swift that's 50% leaner than bacon. That's why it doesn't shrink away like bacon. And you can taste the difference. More lean, real meat.
So don't bring home the bacon.
Think lean.
Bring home the sizzoline.
For I witness to everyone hearing the words of the prophecy of this menu. If anyone adds sizzling to their breakfast, Elohim shall add to him the plagues, diseases, and parasites that are found in swine. Fourth Maccabees 5:1. The tyrant Antiochus, therefore, sitting in public state with his assessors upon a certain lofty place, with his armed troops standing in a circle around him, commanded his spear-bearers to seize every one of the Hebrews, and to compel them to taste swine's flesh, and things offered to idols. And should any of them be unwilling to eat the accursed food, they were to be tortured on the wheel, and so killed. See there, unclean animals and pork are accursed. Accursed is H2764, kerem kerem, and is a thing devoted, a thing dedicated, banned, and appointed to utter destruction. When Yahweh appointed the food laws, he banned pork and unclean animals from the menu. Verse 4. And when many had been seized, a foremost man of the assembly, a Hebrew, by name Eleazar, a priest by family, by profession a lawyer, and advanced in years, and for this reason known to many of the king's followers, was brought near to him. And Antiochus, seeing him, said, I would counsel thee, old man, before your tortures begin, to taste swine's flesh, and to save your life, for I feel respect for your age and hoary head, which since you have had so long, you appear to me to be no philosopher in retaining the superstition of the Judahites. For wherefore, since nature has conferred upon you the most excellent flesh of this animal, do you loathe it? It seems senseless not to enjoy what is pleasant, yet not disgraceful, and from notions of sinfulness to reject the boons of nature. And you will be acting, I think, still more senselessly if you follow vain conceits about the truth, and you will, moreover, be despising me to your own punishment. Will you not awake from your trifling philosophy, and give up the folly of your notions, and regaining understanding worthy of your age, search into the truth of an expedient course, and, reverencing my kindly admonition, have pity upon your own years? For bear in mind that if there be any power which watches over this religion of yours, it will pardon you for all transgressions of the law which you commit through compulsion. This guy sounds like he could be a church preacher teaching the law was done away with, and that you're under grace, so dig in, y'all. Verse 14. While the tyrant incited him in this manner to the unlawful eating of flesh, Eleazar begged permission to speak, and having received power to speak, he began thus to deliver himself. We, O Antiochus, who are persuaded that we live under a divine law, consider no compulsion to be so forcible as obedience to that law. Wherefore, we consider that we ought not in any point to transgress the law. And indeed, were our law, as you suppose, not truly divine, and if we wrongly think it divine, we should have no right even in that case to destroy our sense of religion. Think not eating the unclean, then, a trifling offense. For transgression of the law, whether in small or great matters, is of equal moment, for in either case the law is equally slighted. But you deride our philosophy as though we lived irrationally in it. Yet it instructs us in temperance, so that we are superior to all pleasures and lusts, and it exercises us in manliness, so that we cheerfully undergo every grievance, and it instructs us in justice, so that in all our dealings we render what is due, and it teaches us piety, so that we worship the one and only God becomingly. Wherefore it is that we eat not the unclean and impure. For believing that the law was established by God, we are convinced that the Creator of the world, in giving His laws, sympathizes with our nature. Those things which are convenient to our souls He has directed us to eat, but those unclean things which are repugnant to the soul He has interdicted, forbid, and prohibited. But, tyrant-like, you not only force us to break the law, but also to eat, that you may ridicule us as we thus profanely eat. Profane. Something profane can be cleansed, such as a person that eats unclean animals. But a true Christian following the way does not use grace and mercy as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Unclean animals will always be unclean. Verse 28. But you shall not have this cause of laughter against me, nor will I transgress the sacred oaths of my forefathers to keep the law. No, not if you pluck out my eyes and consume my entrails. I am not so old and void of manliness, but that my rational powers are youthful in defense of my religion. Now then, prepare your wheels and kindle a fiercer flame. I will not so compassionate my old age as on my account to break the law of my country. I will not belie thee, O law, my instructor, or forsake thee, O beloved self-control. I will not put thee to shame, O philosopher, reason, or deny thee, O honored priesthood and science of the law. Mouth, you shall not pollute, defile, desecrate, or make common my old age, nor the full stature of a perfect life. My fathers shall receive me pure, not having quailed before your compulsion, though unto death. This man has never eaten any unclean animal. He wasn't even bacon for mercy. Verse 38. For over the ungodly you shall tyrannize, but you shall not lord it over my thoughts about religion, either by your arguments or through deeds. The old man refuses to eat swine and is horribly beaten and tortured. 4 Maccabees 6:12. Wherefore, partly in pity for his old age, partly from the sympathy of acquaintance, and partly in admiration of his endurance, some of the attendants of the king said, Why do you unreasonably destroy yourself, O Eleazar, with these miseries? We will bring you some meat cooked by yourself, and you can save yourself by pretending that you have eaten swine's flesh. And Eleazar, as though the advice more painfully tortured him, cried out, Let us not, who are children of Abraham, be so evil advised as by giving way to make use of an unbecoming pretense. For if it were irrational, if having lived up to old age in all truth, and having scrupulously guarded our character for it, we should now turn back, and ourselves should become a pattern of impiety to the young, as being an example of pollution eating, defiling, desecrating, and common eating. It would be disgraceful if we should live on some short time, and that scorned by all men for cowardice, and be condemned by the tyrant for unmanliness, by not contending to the death for our divine law. He was then burned to death. How much more disgraceful are those of you today who eat pig and other unclean animals daily? So we have seen that the food laws were commandments in the BC days of the covenant, and that when our ancestors did not distinguish between the clean and the unclean meat, and people, judgment was decreed and executed. Let's see if anything changed in the A.D. days of the covenant.
Move over, mean old God of the Old Testament. The New Testament is something leaner.
Profaning the holy. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to share our heritage, traditions, and inheritance with swine, dogs, or beasts, and those who are teaching so are doing us a great disservice. Sirach 12:5. Do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the ungodly. Hold back your bread, and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else you shall receive twice as much evil for all the good you shall have done unto him. Who are the dogs, swine, and ungodly in Scripture? They are references to the other races. Our history and heritage is not for those outside our race. When have the other races blessed us for giving them what Yahweh has given us? Never. Yes, there are some nice people among the other races, and some of them respect us and are thankful to us. But the things Yahweh set apart for us are not to be given to them. They are not part of our family. Why does missionary work to the dark races never take hold, and often result in being eaten or murdered and eaten? Why does our once white nations allow the other races in, and then we change our laws to suit them? We give them benefits and handouts and neglect our own people. Now we are called racists, Nazis, white supremacists, haters, and oppressors. Yes, we are receiving twice as much evil for all the good we have done unto them. Hence, through our pearls before swine. And we are being rent. We are not so set apart now, are we?
No!
Matthew 10:1. And when Yeshua had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean demonic spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Unclean is G169, akathartos, and means unclean ceremonially, according to Levitical law, or morally unclean in thought and life. It also means demonic. The reason people had unclean spirits is because they were brainwashed by the Jewish Pharisees that were installed by Herod. They were teaching a defiled version of the Torah, just like today's churches teach a defiled version of Scripture based on the teachings of Judaism, which is not Christianity. When one takes hold of false doctrine, unclean spirits can take hold of you. This is because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in someone who believes in falsehood. For what communion does light have with darkness? Today's churchgoers are filled with unclean animals like pork and catfish, and unclean spirits like Jaime Jesus, Taco Jesus, Sushi Jesus, Baby Jesus, and Black Hebrew Jesus. It matters who and what we believe in. It matters what is in our hearts and minds. It matters what goes into our bodies. What's in your temple?
Do you know what's changing? Today's pork, 31% less fat. Pork, the other white meat.
Just say no to pork.